Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. Well, she's already in studio. We are set to get started. But before we do, let me remind everyone that if you're in need of prayer, all you have to do is send us an email to powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, and we promise to pray for you when you send us your prayer request. Now, it's been a while. I got to tell you, the prayer requests have not been coming in as they once did, and I don't know what's the reason for that, but we make the announcement during every show. We encourage people to send in their prayer requests, and they have basically dried up. They have basically become non-existent. So we keep making the announcement. God answers prayer, and we hope and pray that that you would believe that God answers prayer, because he does. I can attest to that. Well, Sister Marie was in studio yesterday, Tuesday. We had a great show, of course. We were talking about everything dealing with Marxism, cultural Marxism, and everything going on in society today, which is swirling around this ideology, this end-time one-world government ideology, where they are trying to enslave us into, you know, the Antichrist form of government. So great show yesterday. Want to recommend that you listen to it, watch it.
Thank you, hon.
And my wife just brought me in some hot chocolate. Praise the Lord for that. And so here we are. Here we are, saints, dealing with this topic, cultural Marxism. And I got to tell you, it's everywhere now. It's in our public school system. It's in our colleges, our universities. It's in government. It's in places of business. And also in our churches, believe it or not. Check out the show. Great show yesterday. Wonderful audio. She also provided some audio from a gentleman who has a show called Hugo Talks. And both audios were fantastic, but the last one was really, really, really an eye-opening audio. Hugo Talks. Great audios. Well, I got to tell you, I'm into this Jesus series. I'm into it big time. Not because I'm a Dallas Jenkins fan, but because he's an apostate and I'm a contender for the faith. That's the reason why I'm into it. So I can't wait to get into it today. And so without any further ado, let me bring on my sister, Sister AJ. And let me just say this. Let me just make a disclaimer. I said he was an apostate. Sister AJ has not called them a name yet. I'm the only one calling them names. I'm the name caller. So in my opinion, he's an apostate. And so I just want to make that disclaimer. I just don't want you to think that when I say something, Sister AJ, you're saying it too. No, she's got the right to her own opinion and to her own statement. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm all wound up, as you can see. I'm all wound up. I'm set to go. This has been a fascinating series. Yes. This is the one time a week where I get to exercise my spiritual gift of nitpicking. Now you'll find that in the Jennifer LeClaire Study Bible, by the way. You'll find that spiritual gift in the Jennifer LeClaire Study Bible.
Isn't that
aside.
Wild jackass spirit or something?
Well, I would leave that to the bishops of the church. I don't want to classify myself that way.
Has one called the wild ass spirit or something like that.
That's true. And let me tell you, that spirit, listen, she has that in legion format. She's got a legion of those jackass spirits inside her. That is one lady that is hard to swallow, let me tell you. She is something else, that lady. She is something else. And it's amazing because on her website, she's got all kinds of spiritual warfare classes, you know, subdivisions and mini courses and conferences. And it's all loony. It's all crazy stuff. It's all crazy stuff. But yes. I guess she has a following because she's at it every day.
Right.
She's at it every day.
She's making money.
She's making money. She's making hand over fist. So money hand over fist. So speaking of Kanye West, I saw the other day where he still loves his ex-wife, Kim, and he still wants to be with her and still wants her to be his wife. But this is after the divorce. So
yeah, I think I saw that article. I don't know with those two. What they're doing, but supposedly Kim is dating now too. Some comedian from Saturday Night Live, she's dating. I forget his name, because I haven't watched Saturday Night Live regularly, probably since Eddie Murphy was on there.
Okay.
So,
that's been a while.
Yes. So she's dating some comedian from there.
Right.
Supposedly. Or been on a couple of dates with him. And Kanye has some Instagram model girlfriend, so I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you got divorced, so, I mean, if you wanted her to remain your wife, why did you divorce her? Right? So,
right.
I don't get it. Unless you have a few loose screws or screws missing, that's the only way I can see you know. Because, look, when we know that their divorce was not, was quite expensive. Because when you're dealing with billions of dollars, and that's the kind of money these people have. When you're dealing with billions of dollars, you know, you got to get high-powered attorneys to go in there and fight for every cent you're going to keep and for every, you know, child support payment that you have to make, because Kanye's not getting off scot-free. You know, he's got to pay child support. There's no way Kim Kardashian is going to let him get away with that.
Right, even though she probably has more money than him.
Right, but
she's a billionaire or something too.
Right, but here's the thing. See, here's the thing with these women. See, they realize that the moment that they're out of your life, you bring in another woman.
Right.
And that woman's going to start having babies because she wants child support too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, child support, when you're a billionaire and there's child support to be had, we're not talking about, you know, $100 a month. No. We're talking about 25
no.
grand a month, 30 grand a month.
Yeah, at least.
Right.
Some people are asking for six figures a month, depending on the situation.
This is no joke. You have these attorneys coming in here, and what do you think they charge an hour? What do you think? That they're not going to get some of that child support money too? Of course they're getting some of that child support money. They get it before Kim got it. Right?
That's right.
So, and then if there's a little argument and they have to show up in court, guess what? They get ka-ching again. They get paid again.
Mm-hmm.
So Kim Kardashian says, hey, before he starts having babies with somebody else and that woman starts getting the money, I got to get a slice of the pie for my kids.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's how they operate.
It's for the kids, of course.
Of course. Look, like you said, she doesn't need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people begging Kim Kardashian to do something for them. They're throwing money at this woman, throwing money at her. She's going to have no shortage of money. That whole family has no shortage of money. But it's not about that. It's about, hey, I got to make sure my kids get theirs from their daddy. Because if you notice, these women, these Kardashians, they don't owe any other woman out there in Hollywood. They don't go after bums. They don't marry bums or people with no money.
Don't.
I mean, all of the Kardashian girls go after basketball players, NBA players.
Sports figures or somebody in the entertainment industry for sure.
If you're not making millions of dollars, they're not looking your way. They're not looking your way. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, Kim Kardashian, she was married to one guy for 1 month. He was an NBA player, 1 month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. They're gold diggers. That's what they are. And
yes,
once they dug out all the gold, once they have all the gold, they move on. They move on. That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. Those guys, their careers are over. They're broke and busted. they have nothing to show for it, and the Kardashians are still on TV, grinning, smiling, you know, and people throwing money at them. So it's a shame. But, yeah, Kanye, I want her to still be my wife. Dude, that's over. That's over.
It is indeed.
People are the world is crazy. The world is crazy. The world is crazy.
That's right.
What are you going to do? It's crazy. So going back to Dallas Jenkins, what a piece of work this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I just can't fathom what he's done with Jesus and the disciples. And
it's a reimagining of Jesus and the gospel and the apostles, but not really what the Bible says. And but Dallas claims, and his father, to a little more indirectly, claimed that telling it like the Bible tells it is boring. You know, people have to relate more to Jesus and all this kind of thing. So this seems to be an attack on Jesus' character and nature, both as a man and God, really.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a lot of reimagining these days. They have reimagined Superman. He's bisexual now.
Yes.
They have reimagined Robin, Batman's sidekick. He's bisexual now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to see the movie, The Eternals, the Marvel Comics movies. And I used to read the Eternal Comics when I was a kid. And I went to see the movie, and then in one of the scenes, one of my favorite characters, he leaves the house, and he kisses his husband in the lips, and my son my son turned to me and said, "What is that?" My son said, "Let's go." He says, "Is there going to be any more of that?" Yeah.
Wow.
Right? So it was disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
But you know what the Bible says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, and that seems to be what we're watching. It's like, Lord, what bizarre world do I find myself in?
Nothing is sacred anymore. You know, comic book characters, okay. Comic books were written in the 30s, 40s. These comics that I'm referring to are in the 60s, 70s. None of that stuff was out in the open. But to take characters that were, you know, heterosexual, and in fact, many of them didn't even, you know, they were just a male superhero or a female with no love interest in the comic. There was no love interest.
Right.
Only a few of them had a love interest. But other than that, a great many of them had no love interest. And now you go to the movies and here's one guy smacking his lips on another guy's lips. And you're saying, what is this? And I knew something was off. Because in the early scenes of the movies, this guy didn't have earrings on. And then when they went to him, like, in the second half of the movie, and he reappears in the movie, he's got two earrings on. And I said to myself, uh-oh,
mm-hmm.
uh-oh. And
the
then,
old bait
boom.
And switch, they get you drawn into the show, and then they put the craziness in there.
Right. So that's it. So I get into the car with my son, and my son says, "Don't buy that movie. When it comes out, don't get the DVD." I says, "Okay, you the boss." I say, "You the boss."
You taught him well.
That's it. Well, you know, that's instinctively with him. It's not like, you know, I never had to tell him about, you know, this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, from the earliest age, children know it's something weird about a man in a dress.
Right. He was just mad about the whole. From that point on, that's it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to leave. And the appeal to this movie, it's not being watched. The tickets, the sales, are very much down. And of course, the movie stinks anyway. It's not a good movie. But when you stick that in there, that has a lot to do with it, because parents like myself, you don't want to take your kids
take
to see that
kids
garbage.
To see this.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's another contributor. You want to push that? Guess what? We're not having
it. You can't even watch Sesame Street without some foolishness in it nowadays. Nothing is safe.
Nothing is sacred. It's just sad. So, but this series, it just goes to show. I was watching that video you sent when we were playing it last week on Jerry Jenkins. He was speaking about his son with glowing terms. His face lit up every time he talked about his son Dallas, and I'm saying to myself, boy, this guy and his son, they're gonna have to give a lot of answers to Jesus when they stand before him on the judgment. Lots of answers.
Right, because we wondered what Jerry Jenkins thought about all this, but it turns out he's all in. He's invested, not just financially, which he is, because he's writing a book on the different seasons of the show, but he's emotionally invested in it, as you say, the way he glows and when
sure.
he speaks of Dallas, and also his when he talks about his favorite scenes in the show,
mm-hmm.
and all that, and how it impacts him, you can tell that he's all in. So, yeah,
sure.
You're right. I mean, it's one thing to love your son, but I don't know if you can support them when they're doing something this serious, which is present a different gospel and a different Jesus to people and calling it the real thing.
Right.
Something you shouldn't support, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And to imagine, first of all, we don't have to imagine everything. It's already spelled out for us. It's in black and white. We don't have to imagine. We don't have to add. We don't have to create. We don't have to assist. Think about that. God needing me to assist him in sharing the story of his son? God needs me? What, am I delusional? What, am I full of myself?
Yes.
That I would think that God would need me to help him with some chapters that I don't think were, exciting enough, that I would have to add my own spin to it? You got to be, listen, mm-hmm. that's the epitome of pride.
Yes, it is.
Right? To think that I got to help God.
That I can help God out.
Yeah.
By reinterpreting the scriptures.
No, this guy, he saw, listen, obviously, look, in his first movie, Hollywood didn't drink the Kool-Aid, so he got canned, right? It bombed. Mm-hmm. So, boom. You know, Hollywood said, no talent. Get out of here. Now, his father was cheering him on. Charlie Brown, go ahead. But Hollywood said, no, we don't want this. No.
Right.
So he found a gullible crowd that he could speak to. And what is that gullible crowd? The apostate church.
The church. Uh-huh.
That's it. It's the Joel Osteen church. You know, it's the T.D. Jakes church. The people that say amen to anything. So he figured I could make money with this crowd.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
Well, speaking of that, I see where Dallas has got a new movie coming out, a full-length feature film called Christmas with the Chosen, The Messengers. And it's basically talking about Jesus' birth through the eyes of Mary and Joseph. And it's going to be showing in select theaters. And a company called Fathom Events is distributing it with their network of theaters that they have all over the country. And according to the press, and it's going to premiere, the first day will be the 1st of December. And the press release says that they made a record 1.5 million in sales in the first 12 hours that it was available. And they had to expand the number of theaters that it was going to be shown in. And so it was shot, I guess, in secret somewhere that while Dallas was working between seasons, because they haven't started season 3 yet. So right. Dallas was filming this and a full-length feature film on the nativity, I suppose, from the eyes of Mary and Joseph.
Pretty
so
soon
that's
he's gonna
the
have,
latest thing coming out.
Yeah, pretty soon he's going to have a movie called At the Car Wash with the Chosen. You know, at the family reunion with the Chosen. I mean, he's going to milk this thing.
Kinds of directions it could go. He could go with this. But he had done, he always says, you know, he got started with this by making a little short film for his church that was talking about the birth of Christ from the viewpoint of a shepherd that
right,
was there.
Right.
So this one is going to just be from Mary and Joseph's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be out for Christmas. And it's got a lot of music in it. And it's got a whole bunch of people performing, I guess. So it's supposed to be a big deal. Maybe this is him dipping his toe back into the feature film aspect of this.
Yeah. Well, we know his dad will be there cheering him on.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, listen, he looks at the calendar. He says, okay, Mother's Day, let's do Mother's Day for the Chosen perspective. Let's do Father's Day. Let's do, you know, next year he'll have one for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving through the eyes of the Chosen. You know, he's going to keep milking it until people get tired.
This is his cash cow.
That's it.
Well, he wants to do 7 seasons of this, so do you think he'll make it?
Look, he'll make it because, again, he's got a partner, right? The Mormon Church is going to partner with him, has been partnering with him, and he'll see the dream come through, and there's like a little newspaper magazine called Christian Book Distributors, right? And they sell Matthew Henry commentaries. Anybody can ask for the magazine. You can at this place, which is in Peabody, Massachusetts, you can buy very expensive books. I don't even know if Christian bookstores exist anymore. But if you want to order, let's say, the 6-volume Matthew Henry commentary that costs like $150, you can get it there like for $35 plus shipping and handling. And good stuff, but very cheap. So within that little catalog, which comes out, I think, once a month, every 2 months, I don't even look at it anymore because they just carry Joel Osteen stuff. And, you know, the Chosen DVD series is in there. It's in there.
I'm not surprised.
So, you know, this guy's going to make money. Listen, through all the stuff that he's selling, he's going to have more than enough money to do the seven seasons.
Yeah,
and with the artwork,
right.
You know, the $77.77 piece of artwork and all that. Listen, this guy, I have to look at it this way. And I think everyone you know, that's been tuning into this has to see it this way. This guy is, this is how I view it. He wants to use this because someday, somehow, he wants to do what Tyler Perry did in The Natural. And he wants to have his own television production or movie production company, right?
That's what Tyler has.
Exactly. So he's going to use this to create that. And then this way he can fund his own projects, one. And two, if anybody's got any ideas out there and want to do stuff, then they can go to his lot and he can produce
that's
them.
Right.
He can
that's
produce.
True.
So I see this. He's going to work now for the next 7 years to try to pump all of this out to generate the money, and then, you know, sell all the Jesus junk he can to get the money he needs to raise to do what he wants to do, which is basically to push his projects so that no one could ever tell him no again because, you know, he's got the cash, he's got the capital to do whatever he wants to do.
Right. All of that accomplished by selling Jesus, the real Jesus, and his gospel down the river for riches.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And Jesus is only the beginning. Can you imagine if he wanted to redo the whole thing of the birth of Moses and the life of Moses? And can you imagine what he can do with Moses' wife and Moses' father-in-law and what he could do with Moses' parents? And he'll have those scenes where Mama Moses has to put the little baby in the basket and throw him in the crocodile-infested waters, and people would be crying at that, you know, the way this guy would spin the yarn. So, listen, there's the Bible stories are unlimited with what this guy can do. Unlimited. This is his niche. And he's going to turn it into big bucks. And this is why he's going to Rome, meeting with the Pope, meeting with people, shaking hands, trying to get endorsements. Because, you know, there's 1 billion Catholics. How many Catholics are there in the world? How many?
At least a couple billion, I think.
So can you imagine
they're
if he taps
pretty much
in
the largest group.
Right. Can you imagine if he taps into that group?
Well, remember, he's got a Catholic priest on his consulting panel.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go. There you go. So that's it. Look, he's going to be very popular because, again, he's got demonic inspiration behind this. This is Doctrines of Demons, is what this is.
God, but it's not God of the Father. The God of this world that's behind all this.
Right. Right. And he is an antichrist with a lowercase a, because his whole series opposes Christ. And that's it. And the Pope told him to his face, "You're Judas." And
yes,
I saw the
yes,
video.
He
was shocked. He was shocked when he said that. Shocked. Mm-hmm. He was taken aback. He never thought he was going to hear those words. But they're recorded now forever.
Yes, that video is out there. That was a Catholic group that put that out, so he couldn't take it down even if he wanted to.
Even if he wanted to.
Dallas, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting. He could call me Thomas, call me Bartholomew or anybody, but don't call me Judas. Good grief.
Right. Sure.
Nobody wants to be Judas.
Nobody. And the Pope looked at him, pointed the finger, says, "You're Judas." Oh, no, not me. No, you are. That's you. That is you.
Yes, he is Judas to the real Jesus for sure.
That's it. For what? For a couple of shekels there? For a couple of pieces of silver? Please. Please. And then to see his daddy come out of retirement or whatever he was, to come out and do a dopey book on the series. I have to watch at least 20 episodes. I can't stomach it the first time. What do you mean you're watching this thing 20 times?
Yes.
And then he gets all choked up when I saw the scene. And, I mean, he's getting all choked up over what? It was rubbish. What are you getting choked up about? When my kids used to bring home from school the little sheets of paper with the paint on it and the noodles, and they say, "Daddy, hang it up." It was up for a week, and then after that, you know, it disappeared. I mean, you know, I mean, that was it. This is not a Picasso. Let's get real now. Please, you know, come on, let's be real. This is not a work of art. Okay?
Yeah.
You do that. My kids did that when their mother left me with them and I got distracted and they got into stuff when I wasn't looking and the whole kitchen was a mess. That, you know, I had to clean that up before their mother got home. They're not artists. They're just, you know, they're mess makers. And this kid made a mess out of the life of Christ. And that's that.
Yes,
plain and
did.
Simple. He's getting all choked up, and, you know, he's about to cry. Really? Over that episode? Are you kidding me? I mean, please.
I couldn't believe that either.
Please. And then listen, like you said, it's hard to watch it the first time. You at least 20 times? At least? Wow.
Yes, in order to get the groundwork for his books that he's going to write, he has to watch it and really wallow in it, I guess.
Boy, I tell you, I mean, you and I don't watch these episodes watch it 20 times in order to come up with our conclusions. We listen to it on the spot, and here it goes. It's garbage.
Right. Well, we're just a couple of nitpicking Pharisees. That's probably what they would say about us and people like us that have critiqued this show and not been very favorable.
Right. No, but listen. On all levels, the show is incoherent. It just doesn't follow the Bible. It doesn't even follow Jewish culture in the first century.
Right.
It's just silly. It's just childish. There's no scholarship in this thing. There's nothing.
Well, if I could borrow from an old song, you know, the Temptations had a song out years ago called "Just My Imagination Running Away with Me." That's what
right. This
is. Dallas's imagination running away. Because
it's
some
horrible
things he puts in here doesn't make sense. And that brings me to what we started to look at last week as we finished the interview with Jerry. We took a peek at the first episode of season 2, because we're going to move into that. And we looked at one of Dallas's prologues. He does this little intro thing, either a flashback to the Old Testament or foreshadowing for what's coming up in the episode. And this one was revolving around John, the Apostle John, interviewing people, the other apostles. They were all together because James was martyred and they were there to mourn him. And so John has decided to begin to compile his gospel by interviewing and getting their first, the other guys' first-hand comments. But it's just it's just not no way that it happened this way, or it's not plausible, because that's their favorite word. It's plausible that things happen this way. But I did look up a couple of facts as we talked about, and it doesn't fit. The timeline is all off. It's just already a train wreck, and we only looked at that part a few minutes into the episode, and it's major problems with how Dallas depicts this scene. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you try to according to Dallas, Matthew is some kind of germaphobe, right?
Right.
He's a germaphobe. We talked about this, how Matthew is, and of course the audience doesn't have the luxury that I have. I'm watching the video as the audio and the video are playing simultaneously. And, you know, everywhere Matthew goes, he doesn't want to touch things, right? He's like, you know,
right.
And then his best friend is an unclean dog. Now,
right.
Tell me how that makes sense. And look, and I know that's a minor issue, but come on, and by the way, the biblical Matthew, we don't know if he liked germs or if he didn't like germs. We don't have a clue, right? There's
right.
no mention of any of that. But if you're going to make the guy a germaphobe and then attach him to one of the two most unclean animals, for the Jewish person, a dog or a pig – were two of the most unclean, right? So he buddies him up with
right.
a dog. Does that make any sense? And this is what we're saying. If on that level it's stupid, everything else, the chronology just it doesn't. None of it makes any sense. It's just a convoluted mess.
Mm-hmm.
Just a convoluted mess. That's all it is. None of it makes sense. Here you have Mary Magdalene. She is going up and down with Jesus everywhere. What is that?
Right.
Here you have Nicodemus.
Didn't happen in the scriptures.
Right. Here, Jesus says to Nicodemus, follow me. He never said that to Nicodemus. And then Nicodemus is, he's being tortured, tormented. Oh, I didn't follow the Savior. Oh, and give me a break.
But he left him a bag of money, though, and Jesus took
right.
it and was like, oh, and, Nicodemus, you're so close. That's all the
right.
Lord had to say about that.
That's it. That's it. Not say to Peter, listen, Nicodemus is around the corner. Go take him his money back and tell him, close, but no thank you. Right?
Right.
No, he took his money and ran. It's like a Master E. Bernard Jordan Jesus.
Exactly.
This is crazy. Listen, like, none of it makes sense. None of it. The chronology is just awful. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful. So, no, we're not accepting of it. Not, you know, and Jerry Jenkins should know better. But, like Eli,
yes.
he favors his son
yeah.
more than the Lord.
Well,
that's, you know,
Eli paid a price for that decision, too.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me when you want me to start the audio, because I mean I'm just so mad. You know, it's like it was like my son when he saw those two guys kissing. I mean that's just repugnant.
Episode begins or picks up where last season Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well, and the Bible says that Jesus spent a couple of days in Samaria after that. So this episode is Dallas's reimagining of what those 2 days were like. So that's what this is going to be about. And he also has his spin on the the parable of the Good Samaritan. So those are the two main things that we'll see in this. And if you want to, we already looked at the prologue last week, and so just to skip past the intro and everything, you can move it to 32:57.
Okay.
To get past all the opening credits and stuff.
All right, here it is.
I'd rather clean out the hold after a long weekend.
You drink for a month.
I'd rather mend every hole in Abbotsdale.
And probably sew your hands together in the process.
Yeah. I would rather wrestle a swordfish.
Just get in the water with it?
I meant on the hook. But I'd snatch it out of the water with my bare hands if it meant not spending a night with these people.
You know it has a sword on its face, right?
We lucked out, brother. Planting this field while the others tried to keep up with Rabbi and Sikar.
It wasn't luck. He chose us. You're going two thumbs deep?
Yeah. Road 300 apart. So why do you think he did that?
We're good workers. And maybe he knows we don't like Samaritans.
Maybe Jesus just likes us best?
Yes. That must be it.
So why do you think he likes me best?
For the same reasons I like you best. You pose no threat to anyone, intellectually or physically.
Thank you, brother. Wait a second.
What I want to know is who are we planting this for? He said it would feed generations.
I assume travelers. People passing through like us. Hospitality isn't just for those with homes, John.
Don't quit your day job.
It's too late for that.
Yeah, me too. Come on, let's pick it up. I don't want to lose this job.
I would rather talk with Matthew for a whole minute.
I'd rather listen to Andrew's jokes.
The car is on the other side of Mount Eba.
Okay, so here you have James and John plowing. They're plowing a ground that's dry and hard. And they have no beast of burden.
Right.
This is just stupid. It's just there is no way if the audience had the view that I have of the implementation tools that they have, which are primitive tools. That you need a beast of burden. To accomplish
right.
this task. There's no way.
And they're doing it with their own John. Yeah, that's John that's pulling that plow. He would tear his back to pieces trying to do that in reality. That ground is hard. It's got rocks and branches everywhere. It looks like ground that has never been cultivated before.
There you go. And we know based on Bible passages that people waited for the former and the latter rain. Why do you wait for the former and the latter rain
to soften the ground up?
To soften the ground, there's no rain there. That thing is hard as cement. Again, this guy doesn't know his Bible. And to have two men, think about this. One guy's got one. Let's just say if my brother and I were plowing together, right, and he had one plow and I had another plow, and my brother's having a hard time and I'm having a hard time, wouldn't it dawn on at least one of us if we put half of our brains together to make one brain? Don't you think that we would have said, hey, why don't we put one plow aside and why don't you and I pull the same plow?
Yeah.
Right?
That would be an idea.
Right. Because two are better than one. I mean, if you're going to move a refrigerator, why he's moving a washing machine and I'm moving the dryer bottles. Well, wait a minute. Why don't we put the dryer aside and why don't you help me carry the washing machine? Because two people carrying the washing machine is better than one person carrying a washing machine and another idiot carrying the dryer by himself. Mm-hmm. See, logically, none of this makes sense. The whole scene is just donkey stupid.
But it looks like they're implying that Jesus told them to do this, and he's doing it for some sort of reason to humble them, because John, that was James that said something about he knows we don't like Samaritans. So is this the Lord's way of disciplining them because of their prejudice or hatred of the Samaritans? It looks like that's what this is about.
But listen, again, if that's his premise, he's stupid. Why? Because Jews didn't like anybody. They didn't like Greeks. They didn't like. So what are they? They're going to go to Rome now and start plowing land in Rome because they don't like the Romans?
Yeah.
There were groups of Jews within Judaism who, the Pharisees didn't like the Sadducees and vice versa. This makes no sense.
The fact that the Bible doesn't say Jesus ever did that, that's a given.
What would be the object lesson of having me plow land for the what knowledge would I gain? What lesson? None. Because Jesus was a teacher who taught with words. Right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Look at all his parables. Look at his Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he didn't say to somebody, okay, instead of me explaining to you the Sermon on the Mount where the man builds upon the sand and the other one builds upon the rock, let's take Andrew, let Andrew build upon the rock and let Peter build upon the sand, and we'll come back weeks later to see what they built. He never did that.
No.
He taught it. They were in a society where they could easily and quickly pick up the meaning of anything because it was an agrarian society.
Right.
You don't have to go, it's not like when you speak to country people who don't have a clue as to what a plow is. He's speaking to people who see these things and are interacting with these things every day. So this is nonsense. This is just nonsense. Okay.
And the map says to head southward along the east side.
It could be this fork taking us toward Shiloh.
This left could be too early. That's a theory. It's a fact that we must veer south because if we keep going westward, we'll encounter the hostile city of Sebastopol to go between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, but more dangerous.
Not if we avoid the cities.
There's no avoiding cities on a road. That's what roads do. They connect cities. You're not taking my daughter off-road. Gaffney, I have given you my word that I will protect Rayma from harm. Can you even protect yourself? With due respect, you are walking towards Samaria to find a group of men you do not know.
And a woman.
A woman who would be with a group of men. Do not talk back to me, young lady. This is foolishness.
And the father is right. Why is the father right?
Right.
Because what woman would be by herself in the company of men? That's the argument we've been making ever since Mary Magdalene attached herself to Jesus and the apostles like an octopus. What is she doing there?
Right. And now this, and by the way, for our audience, this is Thomas, and the young lady that he was with at the wedding of Cana when we looked at that episode. So, and
right.
Remember, Jesus told him to meet him in Samaria or something or other. And so now they're headed there to meet up with the Lord. And it looks like the Father is opening him or them and not approving of his daughter's decision. But I don't see where any father would care what she wanted. You are not going anywhere with this man, not a first century Jewish man, and even today, you know, from what I know of you, bro, I couldn't see you allowing that.
Listen, my wife told me, she informed me that there was this gospel. My girls went to see a play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a gospel troupe, and you know they travel, they do plays.
Yeah.
And they gave my wife a flyer, and they said, your oldest daughter, she can probably join us. And it was $2,500 a year for her to, you know, you put up $2,500, she joins the crowd, and she gets to sleep where they sleep and do the – I said, listen, if it was for free, she ain't going. She's not leaving my sight. I don't know who this clown is. I don't know who this guy – where do they sleep? What churches are they going to? What are the sleeping arrangements? What vehicle is my daughter in? Are the tires on those vehicles bald? I don't know the condition of the vehicle she's traveling in. I don't know where she's going to sleep. She ain't going nowhere. And they were mad at me for a week. I don't care. She ain't going. She's not leaving my side.
A first century Jewish man. I mean, apparently the daughter is active in helping the father in his business, and I guess Thomas works for him or something, and he's interested in this young lady, but they're not married. You would think that as a daughter, she would more likely be with her mom at home helping mama more than running around with her father, but... You know, I don't know. There's just no way it would be happening this way. The Bible does not say this about Thomas. And then the other thing is, it seems like it may have been a span of time where the disciples were called, but the scripture seems to imply that it was a little bit faster than what we're seeing here, that like Dallas is dragging this out.
Jesus called the men, all 12, in succession, right?
Okay.
He didn't call them. He didn't call them in lapses of time. Remember,
right.
His ministry was only 3.5 years, and he needed to have disciples.
He didn't have time to be lollygagging.
Right. His disciples needed to be with him for those 3.5 years. Because they were going to be, remember, when let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And this is just one scripture that would just shoot his whole idea of Jesus, you know, calling these guys over long periods of time. Okay, so Acts chapter 1. The disciples are talking about how God wants to choose a new apostle, okay? So Acts 1:16, it says, men and brethren, this is Peter speaking. The scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which was spoken which the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David, saying, concerning Judas, which was a guide to them who arrested Jesus. He was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field. Okay, we know what happened. All right, now.
Right.
It goes on to say in verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, speaking of Judas, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric or his ministry, his office, let another man take. Verse 21 is critical. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us, from the time in which Jesus went in and out from among us. Now notice verse 22. A candidate had to be there beginning from the baptism of John. So notice, if you wanted to be considered to fill in the vacancy for Judas, you had to be there from what? The very beginning. What was the beginning? Well, when Jesus got baptized from John. Beginning with the baptism of John until the same day in which he was taken up from us, which is the ascension, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. So notice, it had to be early on. This guy, right. Thomas, he's clueless. He's joining right. Jesus later on. When he gets a release from his job. No, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
These people were with Jesus early on. All of them had, in fact, even the substitute, who was not one of the original 12, had to be with Jesus from early on.
So even Judas was somewhere around early on, right?
That's it.
Even though he had a different purpose for being there, but still.
Still, he had to be there from early on. From the beginning of John's baptism. If you didn't fulfill that qualification, if you were not there since John's baptism, you cannot be considered to be Judas's replacement.
And because mind you, we haven't even seen John the Baptist, or we
right.
hadn't seen Jesus' baptism. I mean, we saw John briefly when he was supposed to be in jail, and Nicodemus went to see him.
Right.
But we really haven't seen John in the way the Bible says.
Right, and the guys are making fun of him because what is the latest insect or bug he's eating? We heard that crack
right.
in the last episode, right? What's the last bug he mm-hmm. What bug was he eating then? No. Wait, what are you talking about, bug? He doesn't eat unclean things.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist came from a priestly family, from a priestly line.
That's
he had to be
right.
sanctified.
He did.
What are you talking about, eating bugs? And no, you see, so none of it lines up with the word, none of it. And to make Thomas show up, late, that's like me showing, it's a one-year certificate program, and it starts in January, and here I am showing up in September. What is that?
Right. Just another question with this woman. Traveling with her, with that a woman that's not his wife, obviously against the wishes of her father.
How would Jesus handle this?
Would Jesus tell Thomas, no, she's got to go? I mean, we're going to see what Dallas does with it later, but just keep in mind, would Jesus even choose a guy that does this as a disciple?
But here's the thing. This young lady, by this time, should have been already engaged. Like you mentioned before, her rightful place is at home with her mother. If she is, right, because we have to remember, it's not like our culture. Back then, women were engaged and married at 14, 15. That's just the way it was in those days. So what is, and she doesn't look 15 to me. She looks like she's in her 30s.
This woman's at least 20. She's at least 25.
Right. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. What is she doing with this guy? He hasn't proposed. He hasn't spoken to her daddy. And plus, daddy's not going to let her walk around with her boyfriend. And where's your daughter? Oh, she's out with a what? Isn't she engaged?
Bring disgrace onto the whole family.
Right. So, no, it's not 21st century America. It's not. Where girls pick up and they go and they, I'm going to Vegas with my friends, or I'm going here with my friends, I'll see you later on the rebound. What?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It
this
wouldn't
is a disgrace
even be her
to the family.
Decision, really.
Right. And like you said before, how is it that, this father isn't putting his foot down? Are you kidding me? Please. Okay.
Maybe they know the way.
Shalom.
Hey, what are you doing talking to our mother? You?
Thaddeus counted 50 in the square, with more arriving every minute. Is Jesus ready?
Yeah, he's in his room.
He needed a moment alone.
Well, there are many begging to hear more.
He's been talking to people since dawn. He needs a break.
I'll bring him some water.
I thought most people had left after the first sermon.
They left to go get their family and friends, and now they're back threefold.
The population of Sikkar is approximately 2,000.
Not including women and children.
There are 12 hours of light per day at this time of year, and he said that we would stay here for 2 days, which means over 24 hours. The number of men we need to reach per hour is 83.333333333.
At what 0.33 of a man,
Matthew?
There's a crowd going out there, and we need to decide what to do.
Why don't we just tell him the situation and let him decide?
That's what he's going to do anyway.
I'll tell him.
How many stadia wide is the city?
I brought you some water and...
Rabbi?
Rabbi?
It'll give us a rubric of how many square cubits we need to reach per hour.
Rubric?
Cubits per hour?
His ministry deserves careful thought.
No one's thinking about it more carefully than me.
He's gone.
What are you talking about?
He's not in his room or anywhere in the house. I checked the alley.
We lost him?
He's probably not lost.
Okay, then... He searched the southern side. Andrew and I will search the north. Tell Thaddeus to keep an eye on the crowd.
What about me?
Stay here in case he comes back.
I will be back soon, and I won't be far.
Staying here gives me the greatest likelihood of locating Jesus first.
Well, there you go.
Has he passed this way?
No.
You wouldn't have a good thing with the teacher of this way.
He passed by earlier.
The teacher?
Yes, but is he going to be back in his own square?
He's on an errand.
Where did he go?
Down towards that alley. I'm just about to go see him again and bring my friend. He's not teaching again?
He'll be there to teach more. You won't be disappointed.
There. All tightened up.
So it was the axle. I told my brother it was the axle.
Sometimes all you need is a fresh set of eyes. Now hand me some pitch and it'll be as good as new.
You're good at this. You should stay in town and open up a shop.
Should I?
Mm-hmm.
A shop.
Rabbi! Oh, quickly, get the others.
That woman is going to introduce you to every Samaritan in the country.
I hope so.
Hot.
All right, so explain to the audience what's going on here.
Well, we just listened to the disciples lost. Well, Jesus, they thought he was in the room, but apparently he had gone out, and so now they're panicking and starting to go look for him. Before that, they were discussing I guess, the schedule that Jesus is going to have while he's in Samaria, trying to really map out his day for him. Now, they're acting more like a bunch of a staff assistants for these bishops today.
Right.
The disciples fret about Jesus' schedule like these guys are doing. And
absolutely not.
And then,
no.
And then we cut to a scene where Jenkins Jesus, I guess he's the first century AAA.
Right.
They show him working on someone's cart or wagon or something, and the axle's broken. So Jenkins Jesus is under there making repairs to the axle, and then the woman at the well shows up with some of her friends, and then it cuts back to the next scene we're gonna go to. But that was what that scene was, and it's just, you know, like I said, the disciples are acting more like the staff of some of these bishops, more so than followers of Jesus, and knowing that he's the Messiah, and does he really need you to monitor his activities like that? I mean, of course we don't see that happening in the Bible, but what say you about that scene, brother?
Again, when I was watching the scene, I was saying, boy, these guys are acting like the people who take care of Juanita Bynum and, you know, makes,
yes.
You know, and is the air conditioning on? Does he have a purified water? Does she have her fruits, you know? Are her clothes laid out on her bed? Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Complete nonsense. And again, here is Mary Magdalene again in the mix with the
right.
other disciples.
They sent her out to look for Jesus, like the other guys were doing, and left Matthew at the place in case Jesus came back. You would think they would put the woman in that position, because she can
right.
get hurt wandering around by herself in a strange town. I would think that's how those guys would think.
In a strange town where they are hostile to Jews.
That's right.
Right? So, no, this, again, this is so, look, the show is popular. I know that people are watching it in droves, but this is just pure nonsense. Again, and then for Jesus to be under a cart, fixing mm-hmm. someone's cart, and then the guy says to him, you should open up a shop. And then Jesus looks and to himself says, I can see it. This sounds like a good idea. Maybe I should open up a shop. No, Jesus. No.
Right.
You know, no. Again, this is so bankrupt. Bankrupt on so many levels. It's just, you know, okay.
Shalom. Shalom. I don't know you.
Maybe you're in the wrong place.
Right? We are looking for Jesus.
Everyone is.
Oh, you're here. Tomes and Rema, yes?
Yes. Mary?
Good to meet you.
So good to have you.
It's good to see you again, Mary. This is Rema's father, Kafni.
Everyone. They're out looking for Jesus.
Is he lost?
He's never lost. He probably just needed a moment. The townspeople have been clamoring to see him. He's been changing many hearts.
I know how that works. So, your friend wasn't just being rude.
Thomas, this is Matthew. Matthew, Thomas.
You approached a strange home, and when the occupant answered, you said, I don't know you. Is that being rude? We had a brutal journey. It wasn't easy finding this place. And the Samaritans. Thought we'd be torn apart.
Samaritans and Jews are historical enemies.
I'm aware.
We knew the journey would be fraught, but
it's like he's actively trying to make it difficult to follow him.
I'd have come just to thank him for saving the reputation of my vineyard and your careers. Not that you care about that. I'm glad we found you, at least.
But why aren't you...
I stayed. It's likely he'll return to the last place he was seen. A little farther from the city is what I was going to say.
But what do you base that on?
Isn't it most likely that he's gone on to his next appointment? He does not keep the schedule.
No.
Perhaps I can be useful as an organizer then. I'm good with figures, times. Precision is my specialty.
Ah, you made it.
Good to see you again. Glad you are here.
Oh, sorry, it's been a long day.
We were working.
Because we know that God pursues the sick.
Okay, so you go over that scene for everybody.
Okay, there was a knock at the door, and that's where Matthew answers, and they're meeting up with Thomas. Thomas and Rhema and her father have finally made it in and found where they were staying, and so that intro, them introducing themselves to Thomas, is mostly what that scene was about, which we know didn't happen this way at all. And so
yeah, and the thing is that the whole gang's coming together, and that's not the way they came together.
Right, and but you know, there's still some other ones that aren't a part of, haven't come on the scene yet. So as we say, Dallas is really dragging this out. But the Bible, at least to me, implied that it was pretty much, much faster than this when Jesus chose his disciples.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
Sick more than the healthy. Think of it this way. Are there any sheep herders in the crowd?
I am.
Ah, welcome. We are honored you are here. I have a very warm place in my heart for shepherds. Who is tending your flock now?
My brother. We're taking turns.
How many sheep?
100, Peter.
Say one of them goes astray. What do you do?
I'd go look for it, of course.
Of course. But what about the other 99?
I'd have to leave them behind. I can't lose the one sheep.
And if you find it?
I'd lay it over my shoulders and bring it home. And I would probably do a little dance.
And what would you say to your friends who are worried for you?
Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.
Do you see what he just said there? He rejoices more for one sheep than over the 99 who never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father that one of these should perish. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Look at them.
He couldn't tell Jew from Samaritan the way they're listening.
Yeah, again, this teaching is in Luke 15. He's got it all the way in the beginning.
And I think he was telling this was happening at this at Matthew's house when he had the gathering for Jesus right after he was called, I believe, and it was in response to the Pharisees complaining about the fact that he hangs around tax collectors and sinners, and this was one of many parables he told in response to that.
Right. Yeah, this is again, and you
and
pointed
Jesus
out
didn't teach it in this way, like he, in the scene here. And that is a teaching technique, but Jesus did not use it here, where the teacher asks certain questions and have the audience give certain answers back to him. Jesus didn't do that here. When you look at the parable, it's all Jesus talking. So I wanted to put that out there. So what were you going to say, brother?
No, the point that you made is so critical, because again, the way Dallas is just, and you use the word, he's dragging it out, and that's, in other words, this whole episode is meaningless. Why? Because Dallas is dragging it out. Because again, you know, if all Dallas had, let's take for example, if all Dallas had was the Gospel of Mark, where Mark uses a famous phrase straightway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many times it's translated immediately. Well, Dallas is Slowpoke Rodriguez. He's just. You know, he's just, I mean, Mark is Speedy Gonzalez, and this guy, Slowpoke Rodriguez, he's just dragging everything out. You know, he's just
uh-huh.
so slow. And this doesn't add anything. It's meaningless.
Then he circles back and he goes for it and circles back again and pulls this piece. It's just dizzying.
Right. It's a meaningless episode. What are you saying here? Why are you taking so long, you know, to carve the turkey? It's Thanksgiving. We're all seated at the table. We're hungry.
We're hungry.
Hey. And here you are sharpening the knives. That's all you're doing. Get to it. What is this chapter about? I don't know what this chapter's about. First, we start out with two brothers plowing like two. I mean, I guess they're the donkeys in the story. They're the two donkeys.
Yes.
And then you go from there. You go to what's his name, Thomas. And he's arguing with
mm-hmm.
the father-in-law, semi-arguing, and then Jesus is lost, but he's not lost. He's fixing some. What is this about? I don't get it. This. We're going in circles.
And the 2 days that Jesus spent in Samaria, based on the scripture. It doesn't go into any detail, but I'm pretty sure that Jesus was not fixing people's carts while he was there ministering to them.
And, again, this is just, this is an aimless, this is like a, you know, when a preacher gets up there and he's just quoting scriptures and preaching aimlessly, and you're saying, what is the point to the sermon? What is this guy talking about? That's what this chapter is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this episode is. All right, here's more. Okay, so there's a man approaching here, and he's got crutches on. He's got one crutch.
Yeah.
I guess the clothing department, the artifacts department here in the studio didn't have two crutches, so they only gave him one. I mean, they were short on equipment or something.
I guess. And he's coming on that field that James and John were plowing, by the way. That's
right.
That's what he's discovering, that somebody unbeknownst to him has plowed his field.
Right. Okay.
Did you see the woman and the little girl, though?
I know Simon did.
Yeah, I always get emotional.
I think you won't.
And then, Shalom. Hey, you came through. You made it.
Of course he did, Thomas.
Good to see you. You too, Rabbi. You remember Rema? How could I forget? So you will be joining us also?
Rabbi.
So in other words, you'll be joining us like a disciple?
I guess so. I guess Mary needed some company, or Dallas finally realized it was starting to look really weird with her alone with all these men, so now he's bringing in another female.
Well, this is starting to look more like Charlie Manson's gang, right?
I mean who is this Leslie Van Houten or one of those other women that used to follow him?
Right. I mean that's what it looks like now.
Squeaky,
I mean this is a
Squeaky From.
Yeah, that's it. This is the Manson gang. This is the family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
This is my father, Kathleen.
Oh, yes. The owner of the vineyard that produced such fine wine for my friends. Shalom. Very kind of you to say. I imagine you want to speak with me, eh? If you have some time, I would like to ask you some questions. You wouldn't be a good father if you didn't. Here's what I'd like to propose, if you approve. We've both had very long days, yes. This establishment has rooms available for you, so why don't we get some rest? And tomorrow morning, we talk about everything. Sound good? I suppose we could. It's a plan. Thank you. We are delighted that you are with us. Now, if you'll all excuse me for a moment, I must go speak with a couple of men who performed a truly remarkable act of service today.
Let us escort you, Rabbi.
If you like. We've arrived.
What happened?
I was just telling everybody the work that you boys did today. How remarkable it was. You must be famished.
Yes, we were hungry.
Eat. Restore your strength. And when you're done, please describe the work to the others. I hope everyone takes note of what John and Big James did here. Good night, friends.
Yeah, another meaningless scene.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this is the, what is the title of this episode? Does it have a title?
Thunder. It's called Thunder. I guess it's about James and John. It's loosely about them. The Sons of Thunder, you know, that was the nickname the Lord gave them.
Right. I will call it Dud. I will call this episode Dud. I mean, there's no fireworks, there's no lightning, there's no... This is a dud. Wow.
Yeah, we're just in a holding pattern here. You know how sometimes in an airplane, for some reason, they can't land right away, so they fly in circles around the airport? That's what Dallas is doing here. It's like, land the plane already.
Wow. Well, listen... I would have to ask Daddy, did you watch that one 20 times? Did you need to watch that 20 times? Because if you did, we got to pray for you if you need to watch this at least 20 times. I'm having a hard time watching it the first time. The first time I'm having a hard time watching it.
I'm sorry to do this to you, brother.
No, we have to do it because we have to critique it, but this is horrible. This is horrible. That's like one of those paintings my kids brought to me, one of those hand paintings they brought to me in pre-K, you know? Yay! Wow, look at this. Well, Daddy loves it, you know? And it was up for a week, and then after that it was giving Daddy splitting headaches. Okay.
Where are we going?
I don't know any more than you. Jesus gave them an errand and said, come with. I don't get it either.
They describe moving stones and digging. Are they leaders now?
I don't know. It didn't sound as much harder than fishing, but
I have never performed hard labor.
Guess you just have to tag along like the rest of us.
The list of things you might do is long. First, there's a leper colony to the west, and they're begging him to come.
They're not allowed into the city, so they have no way to hear him.
Both Jewish and Samaritan purity laws forbid coming within 4 cubits of a leper.
What distance do we have to keep from these Samaritans?
We've been within 4 cubits of a leper before, Andrew.
I'm just saying, if he breaks the law, it might cause a stir.
And for dinner, we've been invited to the home of the town treasurer. And we have to juggle that invitation with another one to have dinner at the home of the high priest of Sychar. Which could get messy, huh?
Why messy?
Samaritan beliefs are so at odds with Jewish beliefs. He might want to trap Jesus in his words.
Don't think he's afraid of being trapped by his words.
I'm just saying.
We could be somewhere else with people who actually want to listen to him and not argue.
If he convinces the rabbi of the town, his message will be preached long after we leave this village.
Let's leave it to the boat, eh? What do you think? Dinner at the treasurer or the high priest?
Neither.
Dinner with whom, then?
Well, there are a lot of people who want to talk to him.
Yes, but he wants to make it.
That's the errand.
Eh? That's the errand? Hmm. You guys are really enjoying this, being in the know, huh?
Coming from you, Simon.
What does that mean?
He told us his plans. So, Matthew, distribute the money accordingly. Thaddeus, buy bread, enough for 13 people.
11, unleavened rye, sprouted still.
Assortment, your choice.
13? Who are the others?
Little James, buy a leg of lamb, including the knuckle and the fillet. No, two legs of lamb.
We only have...
Andrew, grapes, currants,
cherries, if you can find them.
At this rate, we will not have enough.
For the start of this trip, we didn't expect to find a bag of gold, did we? We're putting it to good use. Simon.
Yes, sir.
3 skins of wine.
Done.
Matthew, black pepper, chives, salt, olive oil.
At this cost, we will not make it to Judea.
Have faith, Matthew. In him. Mary, look for leeks, garlic, and onions. Okay?
What are you guys going
to
do?
We are going to get out of the street.
Why?
Maria's biggest problem.
Too many Samaritans.
Hi again. Yeah, 3 skins of wine, please.
Oh, what kind?
Red. Something with cloves, I guess.
Simon! There you are. They've been looking for all of you.
Lucky for you, we're all in this market.
Well, what are you doing? Is he going to teach here?
Shopping, if you can believe it.
This man? He told me
everything you ever did.
Yes. We've heard him for ourselves. Because of his words, we believe he is the anointed one. You don't have to keep telling us, Fortuna. Here.
No, I only need 3.
8 from the house. Anything for him.
Thank you.
Simon, I need to deliver a message.
Huh?
Yes.
Everyone,
Yes.
But there is 10 of us.
Please.
All right, so set this up for us here. So much, so many things are happening. Simon is going shopping at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And the other, you know, it's like when my wife and I, we go to Walmart, we split the list. Okay, you go to the vegetables here. You go get the cereals here. You go get this and meet us back here in 10 minutes. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. And they're still fretting about Jesus' schedule, who he's going to see, who he's going to meet with, where he's going to be, that sort of thing. And like you said, they're out doing these errands to buy food and drink. So I don't know if Jesus instructed them to do this. Jenkins Jesus told them to buy all this stuff. So that's what they're doing, divvying up the money that they got from Nicodemus and using it to go shopping. And then the woman at the well shows up with a message for Simon. And
right.
He opens it and reads it, but it's not clear what it's about yet, but maybe that's another request for Jesus' attention, probably.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
the next
yeah.
scene coming up, Jesus is I think Jenkins Jesus is finally going to talk to the father of this young girl that's with Thomas.
Yeah, it seems to me like Charlie Manson, Jenkins Jesus, rolls out of bed every day at 12 noon. And everybody's out and about working, and he's just getting up now.
Right.
You know,
he's just kind of meandering around. This, and we said that pretty early on watching the series, that this Jesus seemed to be a bit aimless at times.
Yep, aimless and loves those sheets, loves to sleep in.
Well, he had a long day yesterday, that's why.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Sorry, Abba. We have busy mornings. I'll make you some porridge.
What do you think he's doing? I just need a few moments with him.
He said it was a short walk. I'm sure he'll be here soon, Abba.
I have things to say. You're lucky I even came out this way with you. I could have just decided no. I can't decide what Thomas does. He can make his own bad decisions, but you. I have things to say.
I know. And I'm very grateful.
Porridge. Soon you will know every way to make it. Because that is what you eat when you don't have a job or live with your family. Gaffney, good morning. Thank you for your patience. I had a few people to meet before our important talk. Were you comfortable last night? Yes, although I must say I didn't sleep very well. Mm. I know what it's like to be concerned about someone you feel responsible for, but I am not a father. I imagine all of this makes you nervous. Could we? Sure. Allow me to first say why I am here. I want to thank you for whatever you did at the wedding. You kept the reputation of my business and of my daughter and Thomas from suffering. Rema and Thomas have insisted that you performed a miracle. Now, I am an old man. I need to leave for my journey, and I do not have time to be unclear. I believe this to be the edge of blasphemy, and I am not in the habit of believing a man from that. A man performed a miracle, and I am not in the habit of giving my blessing for my daughter to leave our home. But I am in your debt, and that is why we are in this room with you now. Thank you for your honesty. I cannot give you my belief or my devotion, So I'm afraid my honesty is all I have left to give after giving up my daughter. I understand. I ask a lot of those who follow me. But I ask little of those who do not. I don't want to be rude. But I have said all I want to say. I have long admired you for your hard work, and you have done well in spite of the loss of your father. But this is foolishness, and I won't pretend it isn't. I will see you next when you ask for my daughter's hand.
Cousin, I...
No. I am not stupid. You may be, but I am not. But when that day comes, I don't know what I will say. Keep her safe. Jono.
Scene we just saw with the father having a heartbreaking goodbye with his daughter.
Right.
My daughter would have been on top of the donkey, not beside it.
Right. Because, and that's the part that's just mind-boggling to me. For one thing, a lot of these new shows love to present Jesus as this revolutionary who bucked at traditions, but there are certain traditions that he did honor, and I do not believe our Lord would have had this young woman or Mary Magdalene or anybody else in close following at him as one of his disciples. There were women that followed him. We've established that. They gave to him and of their means and helped him. So we know there were women followers, but not like this. And then Jenkins Jesus makes this comment that he requires people to follow him to make all these sacrifices. And it's like, I just don't see the Lord taking this man's daughter, knowing that Thomas is not betrothed to her. From the conversation with Thomas, that last little bit, it seems like he hasn't even asked the father for permission to marry her yet. So why
right.
is he letting his daughter go with these guys? And it doesn't look like he thinks much of Jenkins Jesus here. It's like you were saying with the troop that wanted to that was inviting your daughter to join, you like, who is this dude? Who are these people? You know, that's the attitude that the father has that you expressed.
Right, right.
So why would Jesus even do that? And again, why would does Dallas insist on portraying Thomas as a man that would frequently travel alone with a young woman that he's not even engaged to, let alone marry? I mean, it's a disparagement on so many levels of Thomas and the Lord. I don't know. What say you, brother?
Yeah, again, this is right. This is 21st century thinking. This is not first century, but 21st century. We know that America has become, America is not a Christian nation.
Just
because on its coins it says, "In God we trust," that means absolutely nothing. Israel was bound by laws, right? Think about how Paul says in writing his epistles, he says, "Children, honor your parents in the Lord." Right? Mm-hmm. So how could you be dishonoring your father, and by the same token, honor your parents in the Lord? That makes no sense. Why not? Why didn't Jesus invite Peter's wife?
Right.
This girl's not even.
Why didn't Jesus? But I would think the real Jesus would have sent her home with her father. This is where you belong.
Right. Listen, if you're for Thomas, then you wait for him the same way Peter's wife is waiting for him.
Right.
That's it. The Bible says in Matthew 10, starting at verse 1, that he chose 12.
Yes.
And the number is significant. He chose 12 that they might be with him exclusively. And then it gives you the names of the 12. The last one is Judas, who's not even there yet. Half the guys ain't even there yet. And you got a bunch of women who, first of all, Mary Magdalene, we know she existed. But this girl, she's a creation.
She's completely made up.
She's completely made up. The daddy's made up. The donkey in the scene is made up. This goodbye is made up.
Right.
So you see why it dishonors the scriptures? And this is the this is akin to a preacher getting up in the pulpit and just rambling on and making stuff up. And you say, well, bless him, he's using his imagination. No, I don't want that. Do you want somebody using their imagination on Sunday morning? I don't want nobody using their imagination. I want them to rightly divide the word. So, again, this is just, and like you said, how could Jesus just stand there and let this father be so tormented about his unwed daughter hanging out with a bunch of men?
Right. I just can't see our Lord doing that.
Listen, okay, let's say, for example, I'm about to be embarrassed and somebody comes through and they help me out and I'm not embarrassed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you get to take my daughter.
Absolutely not.
Right? So the guy said, thank you, Jesus. You know, you saved out the reputation of our family business. Okay, that's good and fine, but you don't get to take my daughter. I don't know who you are. I had a flat on the road. You came by. You helped me change my tire. I made it to the airport on time. I caught my flight. I'm indebted to you, but that's as far as it goes. You're not taking my daughter. This is stupid. This doesn't even make sense. This doesn't even make sense.
Not at all. It's just so disrespectful even to Thomas.
But how could Jesus be trying? That's why I keep saying this Jenkins Jesus looks more like Charlie Manson. Charlie Manson was getting boys and girls.
Yeah.
Not Jesus. No. He chose 12 that they might be with him. And then the names are given. And
right.
any one of those lists, if you look at the list in Luke, if you look at the list in Mark, if you look at the list in Matthew, it is the same names in the same order. No women. Mm-hmm. Not one gal. Not one. And then, by the way, in Acts 1, when they're choosing a replacement for Judas, right, when they said, listen, this scripture says, and before the church gets started, we need to have the 12 in place. And so they based their conclusion on a scripture in the Psalms. And so they prayed to God. And then when they went to look through the list of people who could fulfill that, then they said, oh, by the way, you know, Mary was with us since the beginning. Let's put her name up there. She doesn't even appear. Her name never shows
nope.
up. It's two dudes.
Not at all.
Two guys.
That's right.
So, again, on so many levels, this is completely stupid. Okay. Now, at this scene now, they're at the field. That Jesus told
right.
Donkey John and Donkey James to plow.
Yes, that's where they're at now.
Right.
Exceptional. You should have seen this place. Weeds and branches piled everywhere.
We cleared and sowed it in a single afternoon.
So you've told us.
Well done. Very well done.
What are we doing here, Rabbi? This is where we'll be dining tonight.
Someone lives here?
You must be Menas.
I am.
You're the teacher. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. These are my students.
I believe I owe you a debt of gratitude. I would bow, but as you can see,
it's John and Big James here that put in the sweat.
You own the field?
I do. We thought it was for travelers.
Okay, so spit it out. What's the catch?
Catch?
You don't know me from Adam. You're a Jew. You come all the way from Galilee to preach in town. You send your students to work my land.
Fortina told us you were in need.
Mm-hmm. She told me all about you. So what do you want from me?
I don't have any money. I can't make a donation to your ministry. Can't even feed my family. That's
what? You don't have a donation for my ministry? What? What?
Oh boy, that's a no-no there for Jake
well,
and Jesus
again,
anyway.
Right, look at the languages. Donation for your ministry.
Your ministry, that's modern day talk.
That's 21st century gibberish.
What's the catch? He feels like, okay, what do you want in exchange for having your disciples plow my field? Because that's who this is. They're at this house meeting up with the guy who owns the house in the field, and that's who they're talking to. And he's like, okay, what's this about?
Right.
I don't have any money, so what is it that you want? Something you would probably say to one of these pimp preachers, like, what's the catch, Bishop?
Exactly. So, okay, let's see what else. Let's see what else.
What I want. What? I would love for you to share a meal with me and my friends.
I'm really so very sorry, but we don't have any food, not even for ourselves.
We've got that covered. Please, we would be honored.
The boat almost slipped. Then the net strained so hard, I thought my arms would come out of their sockets.
And James and John took their sweet time coming to help us.
Oh!
sheriff will help five times before you move.
So you followed him all the way into Sumeria?
We did suggest the alternate route along the Jordan.
You didn't think it could be dangerous for you?
Of course.
When I was a little girl, my father told me the Messiah would bring an end to pain and suffering. If you are who people are saying you are, when will you do that?
I'm here to preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that is not of this world. A kingdom that is coming soon. For yes, sorrow and sighing will flee away. I make a way for people to access that kingdom. But in this world, bones will still break. Hearts will still break. But in the end, the light will overcome darkness. Speaking of broken bones, what's the story?
I fell off a horse.
Well, I didn't see a pasture.
Yet, it wasn't mine.
Ah, a friend's horse. That's always dangerous.
No, not exactly.
Oh.
Look. You've already done so much for me that I didn't deserve.
Come, Rebecca. It's time for bed. Say good night to your new friends. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
If you knew who I am, you would never have helped me.
That's not true. This is what we Jews do. We tell and listen to stories. Our stories connect us. Tell me your story.
We're going to have to leave it there on that cliffhanger. We'll start it again next week at the 1 minute of the 1 hour mark, 1 hour, so we can go back and pick up the thread of this. Of course, none of this ever happened. So, what say you, my dear sister? Sister AJ? Seems like
yes,
I'm lost.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
I'm sorry.
It looks like Dallas is just going around in circles and dragging this out. Like you said, this episode, he probably could have skipped it. Or I don't know. This is a train wreck.
Yeah, it's so poorly written. None of it makes sense. None of the encounters make any sense. Worst of all, none of the encounters ever happened. And there
right.
is the
none
woman. There is the woman that he met at the well. She keeps popping up and giving these messages, and you're figuring out what are the messages for? What are they about? We never get to that. Yeah. This is again. They should have never done this episode. That was a waste of money.
Right.
A waste of money. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, just for preview of next week, this scene is what I meant by the reimagining of the Good Samaritan parable. So that's what this is.
I see what this is. Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back next week, and as always, great show. Listen, Saints, we disagree with everything Dallas Jenkins is doing, but for the benefit of the Saints, we have to play the audio. We have to show you why this series is rubbish, why you should stay away from it. I would recommend, you meet family members during Thanksgiving and Christmas. If this happens to come up, warn them to stay away from it, because again, it's complete rubbish. So, Sister AJ, you have the last word.
Agree. Well, thanks again for listening, and we love you. Most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and have a good rest of your day and week. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Go help people customize and save.